The sermon that I would preach today, the topic that I would give today is called The Believers Are Called to Witness. The believers are called to witness. Lord willing, we will go some evangelistic sermons. And the scripture that I would take is Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. I would say this is the first missionary chapter that the Lord has given to man. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3, the call of Abraham. Now the Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Here we see an effectual call of God. Now, let me explain a little bit doctrine here. It's so important for us to understand. Abraham was not a Christian at this time. Okay? He was living in his father's house, and they were worshipping idols. And here, Abraham was not seeking God. Okay? The book of Romans very clearly says nobody seeks God. Abraham was not seeking God. Alright? Abraham did not know God. And Abraham was living in his father's house and worshipping idols. Who seek you first? Did you seek God first or did God seek you first? It's God who seeks you first. Okay, a lot of churches that are teaching today that you need to seek God, then God will take you in. That's wrong doctrine. Alright? Here is the Lord who called Abraham and said, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." Now, when God called Abraham and said, "Abraham, I want you to leave your family, your father's family, where you are living, and I want you to go from your country to a land that I'm going to show you. I'm going to give it to you." Now, the question is, the God said, "And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great." Now, when God called Abraham, did Abraham have any questions to God and say, "God, I want to make sure that wherever you're going to take me, I will know exactly where I'm going, that give me the blueprint so I will know that I'm going to be prosperous and that I will be blessed. How do I know that? Well, you know, I don't know where I'm going. So what kind of satisfaction do I have for myself if you don't know where you're going?" Did Abraham refuse the call? Did Abraham have any doubts of the call? Did Abraham have any kind of things that he was not sure if this is from God or not or what? Huh? Of course not. Because the effectual call, this is what is called effectual call. When effectual call has an effect, okay? When an effectual call is when God calls that person, you cannot resist the effectual call. That's very closely linked with regeneration or born again. Good examples you can give is when Jesus called Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a sinful man. He was on top of a tree. He was so shy. He was a short man. So he had to go climb on a tree. And he was a sinful man. And he wanted to hide away from Jesus. That's why he hid on a tree. But what happened to Zacchaeus when Jesus came? He went right under that tree. And he looked at Zacchaeus. Said, Zacchaeus, come. And Zacchaeus fell into Jesus' hand like a bird. Zacchaeus could not resist the call of Jesus Christ. He could not resist. He cannot say no. When Jesus called the disciples and said, follow me, they cannot say, no, I can't. And Matthew, the tax collector, did not say, well, I got a job to do. How am I going to get money? No, you cannot resist. That's called the effectual call. Okay? Lazarus is a good example. When Lazarus was dead, and Jesus, the dead man, and Jesus said to Lazarus, what? Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, he could not resist the call. Dead man became alive and came, you know, like a new, fresh person. He couldn't resist. When Jesus called Apostle Paul, who was a murderer, who was persecuting the church, it was God who called him, right? And told him to serve him. He couldn't resist. That is called effectual call. Understand that. When God called you from darkness to the light, you cannot resist that call. Because you are dead in your spirit. Now you became alive. That's an effectual call. In the same way, here we see God call Abraham. And God said, and I am going to make you into a great nation. I am going to bless you, make your name great. Now, the real word effectual has a meaning, and the meaning means summons. It is a command by the authorities to appear in a court of justice. And when you are summoned by the court, you get a court order, a summoned by the court, you cannot resist that. You got to appear. It's the same word. Now, that's the calling that we got. Every Christian, if you're a Christian, you're living in a church, and you say that you're a Christian, then you're called, you have an effectual call. That means God called you. Effectual call is a call from heaven. If the effectual call means that it's summoned, it's a commandment to appear before the authorities of the justice, from this earthly perspective, how much more it is effective when you're called from heaven. Apostle Paul, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 says, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, Apostle Paul said, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Then he says, I press towards that goal, the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So the call is an upward call. It's a heavenly call. And Apostle Paul says that he is forgetting what lies behind, but straining forward what lies ahead. That's an effectual call. That's the same call that Abraham got. What? To forget the past and move forward. Move forward. God told Abraham, I want you to go. Go means going forward to the land that I'm going to give you. Paul says the same thing. What lies behind and straining forward what lies ahead. And I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Every Christian has this effectual call. Once the effectual call comes, we are to move forward. We are not to stay there, one place. Or we are not called to go backwards. But we are called to go forward. Okay? So the effectual call comes, and the fruit of the effectual call is to go forward. Alright? That's very important to understand. Now, remember the spiritual blessings that comes along with it. And it says here, verse 2, Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. so that you will be a blessing. It's going to be a spiritual blessing with the effectual call, if it came from heaven, if it came from God, there would be some fruits that comes along with it, and that is called the blessings. Now, remember, understand, when you were not a Christian, you were tempted in all kinds of directions in this world, right? For sinful temptations were there around you. And you were not only be tempted, but you in temptation, and you, many of us, yield into that temptation when we were not Christians. Now, with the effectual call, God will give us the grace to leave this temptation. That's a blessing. That's a blessing to say, now we can say that we, you know, of course we fall into temptation, it's not we are perfect, but the Spirit rules now, not the flesh anymore. So we, by the grace of God, we can leave the temptations. Leave the ungodliness, leave the wickedness. And James chapter 1 verse 12 says, James chapter 1 verse 12, James 1:12, and it says here that blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. So blessed is the man. It's a blessing. It's a man who stood, who stays, who are steadfast under temptation or trial. And when he has stood that test, he is going to receive the crown of life. So this is a blessing. Exactly what God told Abraham. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you will be a blessing. What a blessing to get a crown of life. Is that a blessing or not? Well, you had to be tested by the trials that come in your way. When God told Abraham to leave his father's household and go to the land that I'm going to give you, it wasn't a good rosy rose garden that God promised Abraham. There were going to be problems, difficulties. Alright? So, in Psalm chapter 1 verse 1 says here, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Now here is the negative perspective what we have been studying in sanctification, right? The negative side of it. Say no to ungodliness. Then Psalm 34 verse 8 says, Psalm chapter 34 verse 8 says, oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. So here is a positive side. The negative side says no, and the positive side says, come and taste and see that the Lord is good. And Abraham is called to go forward because it's going to be a blessing. Blessing means this is a spiritual blessing. Alright? Now, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 sums it up. Let's go to Ephesians 1 3. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Wow. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Now, that's the blessing that God is going to give. Effectual call, then comes the spiritual blessings. And you had to move forward. You had to move forward. Now, then he says, Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And not only that, not only Abraham is going to be blessed, but Abraham is going to be a blessing to other people. Huh? Then he says, verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Not only God is going to spiritually bless Abraham, not only God spiritually blessed us when he called in the effectual call, but through us, other people are going to be blessed. Other people are going to be blessed through us. That's what he's saying there. Now, this is the practical side. This is where we are going to be a witness to the other people. We are going to be the salt of the earth and the light of this life to the other people. And this is where action is going to speak louder than words. Okay? Spiritual blessing. Then comes action. What we have learned. It's so important that Luke chapter 11 verse 28 says, Luke chapter 11:28, and it says here, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. So if you want to be truly blessed, and they are the people who hear the word of God and they keep it. That means they do it. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Now, this is where we have to understand. The Bible says that we are Christians, right? And if you're a Christian, you're a Christian. As a Christian, we are called to witness to other people. Right? Yeah. Because Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, Jesus said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples. In Acts chapter 1, 8 says that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, there will be power upon you for you to be witnesses. Right? For a Christian, we are to witness to make disciples. Right? Now, how many in your life, maybe you have been a Christian for I don't know how long, have you witnessed in your life to other people? Okay? Are you a witness to other people? Have you made any disciples? Have you taught somebody the word of God? And these are things that you have to answer. Now, we are learning a lot. But at the same time, we need to practice what he says here. That's very, very important. Practical side is what? Building a friendly bridge here. Are you building a bridge between the unbelievers and you? Not you are not conforming to the unbelievers, but are you building a bridge that are you witnessing to them? That's very important, witnessing to them. Witnessing to them is not that you're getting conformed to their lifestyle. No. They should be conformed to your lifestyle. That's the difference. Jesus said, we are to be the salt of the earth. Matthew 5:13. And also he said, we are to be the light of the world. Matthew 5:14. Also, Apostle Paul said, we are to shine in this crooked world. Philippians 2:15. Mitchell, Philippians 2:15. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15 says, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among you shine as the lights in the world. Question is, are you a light of this world? Question is, are you a salt in this earth? question is, are you shining in this crooked and perverse world? And they will see that you are different. That means our behavior and our conduct should not injure anybody. If somebody is coming to this church, now let's say you are witnessing to people, huh? And you are going to invite somebody to our fellowship here. So a new person comes here to this church. When a new person comes here to the church, we should not be a stumbling block to that person. We should not be a stumbling block to a new convert. We had to be very sensitive to that person, because who knows whether that person will accept the Lord or not. That means we need to be very careful how we speak. If we are the light of the world, salt of the earth, if we are going to be shine among a crooked generation, how do you talk to people? What is your attitude? You had a bad day, are you going to show that your bad day to everybody else? That is not shining. How is your tone of speech? Because you got mad at somebody, are you going to be mad at anybody in the church? How is that going to reflect to somebody who is coming to church? See, these are very important things. And it's so important that we need to know these things, because if somebody comes, that person would like to come again and again and again. So these are really important. That means we need to be, you know, we need to understand, for us to be shining in this world, we need to be always looking out to help somebody. Now you might say, you know, I haven't really made disciples. I don't know how to talk to people. Let me ask you a question. Do you pray for souls to be saved? Are you praying? Ask the question. The first thing is, you know, when you wake up in the morning, are you praying for the lost? We sing that song, stand up and stand up for Jesus. Are you standing up for the Lord? It's easy to sing. Are you doing that? See, first thing is, we need to pray and ask, Lord, bring me somebody that I would be a witness to someone, that I would be a blessing to somebody. Just like Abraham was called to be a blessing to the other people, what about us? Are you going to be a blessing for somebody or not? That we need to pray that. That's my daily prayer. And I pray daily and ask the Lord, Lord, you know, whatever I say and everything what I do, let it be a blessing. And I know God is answering that prayer, because we know how the Lord is answering the prayers in the internet, all the sermons. How many people are getting in, and they are blessed. So God answers the prayers. Jesus said, if you ask something, keep on knocking, He will give it to you. Spiritual things, He's talking here. If you ask for something spiritual, He's never going to say no to you for spiritual things. God loves to give you spiritual things. God will love to empower you with the Holy Spirit and with boldness. God will love to use you as His mouthpiece for everybody. God would love to do that. And you might say, how come God is not doing that to me? Well, there are the reasons why He's not doing that, because maybe there are some sins in your life. Maybe you're holding these sins and you're saying, I love God, and at the same time you love this worldliness. God cannot use a filthy vessel for His glory. He cannot. Read George Whitfield's sermon, Almost a Christian. Very convicting. Almost a Christian, but not a Christian. God cannot use a double-minded person. God cannot use. That's why that's the answer to your question. How come God is not using me? Yeah, that's the answer. So, God can use a clean vessel. So we need to always first begin in prayer. Prayer is essential. Pray for the lost. Pray for the lost and ask the Lord that to use you for His glory. You know, always when you go, always look out to help somebody. You know, every time when you go out, try to look at how you can be a blessing to somebody. You may not know how to talk to somebody very good in way, you know, to somebody, but at least you can help somebody. You can encourage somebody. You can advise somebody. You can lift somebody up in their spirit. You can do a lot of things. Huh? Then when you do those little things, then God will make you stronger. Give you ways to witness now. Then after witnessing, God will teach you how to disciple somebody. All these things God will teach you. But we need to be open for the Holy Spirit. And we need to say no to ungodliness and yes to godliness. So always look to help somebody as that person after the World War II. And I've told this many times that we went to the donut shop and he bought a dozen of donuts, and outside there was this little kid, you know, and often looking at the donuts, he had no money. But this man saw the hunger of the child and gave the bag to the kid who was so hungry, and he's an orphan. And the first thing the kid asked this guy is, "Are you God?" Yeah. See, that's the way people should see us. People should see Jesus in us. You know, and if we say that we are Christians, are we showing to the people that in our lifestyle that we are Christians? You know, or do we have to really say, "I'm a Christian and this is what I believe and this is what our church believes," and so forth like that? But the people should see that before you even say that. And sometimes you got to give this long sermon to show that you are a Christian, because people don't believe you are really not a Christian, because your actions doesn't match what you believe. So it's so important that we should be looking out to help somebody. You know, remember when I was doing missionary work, this young girl was pitching water, and I went and helped her and get water. You know, that's one way they came to the church, because I helped them out. And there's always, when you see somebody go to the water place and trying to, old lady trying to get water to the cup, try to help her out. You know, don't just look and go your way. Don't be selfish. We are called to be a blessing to somebody. That's a blessing. Little things can go a long way. When you do something like that, you know, the way you look at people, strangers, you know, some people, when you look at them, they get scared. I mean, Christians are to be, and if we are going to be a shining light, how does your face look to the other people? You know, we need to be friendly with people. We need to be friendly. Just be open to them and be nice to them. And these are very important things. And whenever you go, take some tracks along with you. So our whole purpose as a Christian, we need to have this new attitude. What is the new attitude? We pray and ask the Lord to bring somebody in your life, so that you can be a witness to somebody in any way, in helping somebody, encouraging somebody. Maybe somebody is going through some lot of problems. Okay? You got the Bible in your heart, right? And you know what to say. And you heard thousands of sermons, and you know, you should know what to say when somebody is going through problems. So there's so many ways that you can be a witness, encourage somebody, give godly counsel to somebody. So we are going to be a blessing to somebody. Now, This will lead eventually, at the end, it will lead gospel witnessing. That means once you build a bridge, once you make a good friendship, then that person will trust in you. He becomes your friend. He will trust in you. Because he has seen your lifestyle first. Alright? And you are a real, genuine person that I can trust. Then this will lead to gospel witnessing. Tell them that it is God who works in you. It's not your power. It's not that they will say, man, you're such a nice person. You're so good. And I've seen your lifestyle. That's the time you should say, it's not me. It's God that is in me. It is Christ that is in me. That's the time you have to show them that you trust in Christ. And that's the time you give the gospel to them. Understand? That's the time you tell them what the Lord has done and give the gospel to them. Now, go back to Genesis chapter 12. Because it says here, and I will bless those who bless you. And him who dishonors you, I will curse. And you, in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So, if somebody is going to listen to you, that person is blessed. Not only he is blessed in a physical way, he is blessed in a spiritual way. If that person comes to know the Lord through you, where God has used you, it's going to be a great blessing. But if that person rejects what you had to say, that's going to be a curse for that person. You understand? So, see Genesis 1 to 3, when God said the same thing to Abraham, how it's going to apply to you and me. You can be a blessing to somebody, and at the same time, if they're not going to listen, you know, you can pray for them. Keep on praying for them. Who knows? We don't know when they will come to know the Lord. Because in reality, we cannot convert anybody unless the Lord converts them first. Okay? So always carry some tracks with you. And we got a lot of tracks here, right? Do we? Yeah, plenty. Overflowing. Invite somebody to church. Invitation. Tell somebody, you know, invite somebody to the church. Because when you invite somebody to church, it's a blessing. It's going to be a blessing to that person because they are going to hear the words of God. And how many of you have invited people to go on vacation and you want to go with them? How many of you have invited people to go shopping? Huh? How many of you invited when you wanted to see something really good? I want to invite so and so. That's physical things. How about the spiritual things? But it is more important. Huh? So when someone new comes, they should see that this place is not glamorous physically, but they will see that we worship God, that we love God. They should see that we are a people that truly worship God. We are a people that truly love God through Jesus Christ. And also they will, a lot of people, when somebody comes here, they're going to look around and see, well, they will study who you are. The way you talk, the way you behave, if you are godly or ungodly, they will study you. And if they will never come back again to church, there will be three options, three ways why they didn't come. And number one is, they were looking for a seeker-sensitive church. That could be that there will be a lot of entertainment, nice music with guitars, drums and things like that, and feel the fleshliness and so forth like that. They were looking for something else that is very fleshly appetite. Or number two could be they were hurt by somebody from here. And maybe somebody said something not right. Maybe they saw some kind of hypocrisy, they didn't want to come again. Or the number three could be, they were ignored totally. We basically ignored that person. We didn't want to talk. You know, we always get into our clique here. And that person, I don't feel any love here. And call Agape Chapel. So, Agape means God's sacrificial love. They were unattended, ignored, they were not taken care of. They said, I can find somebody else, another church. Those could be the three reasons, right? So, as a church, we need to be very, if we are going to talk on evangelism here, we have a lot of practical things that we need to do. Really practical things. At the same time, there's a lot of accountability where you are concerned. You have to be accountable. You are, just imagine you're called what? A light. Who is the light of the world? The Lord Jesus Christ, right? And now, His light has illuminated us. His light has lit us. What does that mean? That means we are followers of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we cannot be illuminated. Otherwise, He cannot light us, right? We are followers of Him. What does that mean? That means we are imitators of God, right? Exactly. See, what I'm trying to show you is, if we are living in a crooked, perverse generation that is becoming more and more darker every day, how much more we should become, we should be shining and shining every day. If the world is getting darker, we should be shining brighter every day. Right? Yeah, that makes sense. So it's so important that we need to take these things into our hearts and treasure these things. And when you wake up, when you finish, when you're here listening to this sermon, pray and ask the Lord, Lord, you know, I have been a bad witness. I haven't helped anybody, and I haven't been a blessing to anybody, and I repent of your sins. Now, after 12 months, if the same people are coming to church, there's something wrong, huh? Right? Yes? Yeah. And then that means something wrong. And after another 12 more months, it's the same people coming. There's something radically wrong. That means people hear the word, they don't care. They don't want to practice. Is that going to be, are you going to be very confident before God when you die and go to heaven? Is He going to give you a crown and say, well, if God could say you, well done, my faithful servant, you fought a good fight. Huh? Well, you know, these things we got to take it very, very seriously. Very seriously. If we are going to put priority into a lot of other things, even your work, your family, your closest things, you are going to put high priority. What about things of the God, things of God? What about God? Are you going to put higher priority God than anything else? Or is God's priority the last thing? Huh? Is it the last thing you think is God? That means last thing is, oh, I gotta do this, I forgot. It's because God is at the bottom of the list. And sometimes God is forgotten. You don't even remember anything of God. Only time you remember is on Sunday morning when you wake up. There's something wrong there, right? Jesus said what? Seek ye last the kingdom of God, right? Huh? Yeah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, not last. And what did Jesus say? Love the Lord, love your family, love your job first, and love me probably second or third. Did He say that? What did he say? He said, love the Lord with all your heart. That's the number one thing. With all your soul. Then with all your what? Strength. Action. Moving forward. Now, it's so easy to say, I know all that. And to say, and just to stay in one place. Remember that parable that Jesus gave to the man who said, you knew everything, but you didn't do. Take this wicked man to be, punished. So knowing everything and not doing it is going to be the bigger curse. That's going to be a big curse from God. That's going to be, oh man, I'm scared of that curse. When God says, remember how the Lord said, some people will say, oh, Jesus said, just because you said, Lord, Lord, it doesn't mean that he knows you. Right? It's so important. So these things, what I say is not, don't take it as the sermon of Sunday morning today and say, well, that was a good sermon. And just take it from one ear and the other ear, you forget it and you forgot everything what you said after 30 minutes and you're gone and you don't do anything about it. Did you profit your soul? Absolutely not. Not 1% or 0.5% your soul was profited. But Jesus said, what did Jesus say? He who has ears, let him hear. And they are the ones who are going to be blessed. Because they will hear not only the ears, they will hear from the heart and the soul. And they will practice. So everything starts with prayer. Begins with prayer. And when you pray, oh, God can use you. God can use you for His glory. Let's pray.